Welcome to the Disrupting Obesity Podcast. I'm Charlotte Skanes, and I'll be sharing ways to regain control over your body and lose an extreme amount of weight naturally. Being fat is about so much more than just the food. It's about your relationship with food. That means that dealing with your weight is about more than just the food too. You have to change that relationship. You have to start disrupting obesity. People think I have a thing for flamingos because they're pretty and they're pink like my hair. And yeah, that's not why. I mean, they're very, very cool, but that's not why I like them so much. And that's not why my hair's pink either. I do think flamingos are pretty. I have a thing for awkward looking waterfowl, and actually vultures are my favorite bird of all time. They have nothing to do with water. And I think that they're very pretty too, but it's not looks that draw me to birds. I love flamingos because they're total badasses. They're undeniable badasses, but everybody's always so hung up on those stunning feathers of theirs and the tidbit that we have zero clue why they stand on one leg the way that they do, that nobody talks about the coolest parts. The number one thing I want you to know about flamingos is that they're astoundingly resilient. I know they look delicate as fuck, but I can assure you that they are not. Flamingos can stand in 150 degree water. They can cope with overnight lows down to minus 22, and they can deal with corrosive lake water, the kind that melts the flesh off other creatures. They just stand in it and have some lunch. They don't care. Totally not bothered. Flamingos live in all kinds of places. Salt water, fresh water. They can eat and drink from water that's twice as salty as the ocean. And because of the crazy circumstances they can thrive in, they don't have to deal with predators because the predators can't even exist in those conditions. So flamingos don't compete because they're too busy doing their own thing, too busy being resilient. Extreme weight loss requires resiliency, and you've got it. You might not think that you do, but you do. And you can hide behind all the pretty pink feathers that you want, but it's there. You have it. I used to hide behind my feathers all the time. A few months ago, I did an episode called Scared Shitless. Well, the original title, the working title of that episode, it's number 43, and I called it Purses, Hair, Earrings, and Shoes. That also happens to be a list of my prettiest feathers, the things that I hid behind when I was fat, in large part because I was scared. I wanted to draw attention away from my body, right? I'd much rather someone was looking at my hair or my purse than at me. I don't hide behind anything anymore, but I still don't like attention being paid to my body. And that's mostly because of what happened when I got my weight off. I wasn't prepared for the commentary, for the way I was going to be treated so differently from the way that I'd been treated when I was fat. I wasn't ready at all. Now I make a point of not commenting on anyone's looks. And you need to understand that I am that random person who will just walk up to a stranger or holler at somebody from across the aisle at the store that their boots are amazing. I'm 100% that person, but I don't talk bodies. You never know where somebody's at with theirs, right? And I've been accused of being pregnant when I was just big way too many times to ever do that to anybody else. I'm also the person that people spill their life stories to in the first 5 minutes. And I like being that person. I'm very deliberate as much of the time as I can be of the way that I move through the world. It's something that's really important to me. I like saying hello and good morning to people that I don't actually know. And I love handing out compliments. I like spreading sunshine. It's one of my favorite things to do because you never, ever know the difference that it could make for somebody else. I was at the grocery store, it might have been Walmart, it was somewhere like that, and the boys were small, super, super small. I had 3 in 3 years, so there's a good chunk there that I feel like that time would be a bit of a blur for just about anyone, and I think that when you add the whole almost dying thing, it's super blurry. So I'm not even sure when this was, but shopping is a real treat with 3 kids under the age of 3. And people love to say super helpful things like, you must be busy. And, oh, somebody's got her hands full. I read somewhere about a mom who would respond to that whole, you've got your hands full commentary that so many of us seem to get. She would respond with, not as full as my heart. And let me tell you, okay. I tried so hard not to lose my shit in those moments and roll my eyes at people. And I would try so hard to remember to say what she said. And a few times, I'm pretty sure I did. But this time, and I seriously don't even remember what happened. Like, I have no idea what that woman said to me that day. And I don't even really remember what she looked like. I have a vague idea, but I don't have like details, right? I just know I was in the checkout line, and instead of her saying one of the usual things or questioning my life choices, she said something that turned my whole day around and made me feel like a real person and seen. And I want to make people feel like that because I'm selfish, right? So I try to spread as much sunshine as I can to get that feeling back, because it costs me nothing to tell somebody that I love their hair. And I do realize that coming from someone like hair like mine, that might not always be interpreted as a compliment, but I always intended as one, because you really don't know the difference that a handful of words can make to another person. I saw a documentary when I was losing my weight the first time, and I can't remember a ton about it, but this one part of it has never left my mind. They were interviewing criminals. I don't remember why. And this one guy was a lifelong petty criminal, and he had the classic really tough childhood, and he was virtually always in jail, like his whole adult life. And they asked him why he hadn't escalated things and moved on to like more serious crimes. And I think he surprised them, because he had this insanely insightful answer. And he tells them that when he was really little, like first or third grade, really young, he was a terrible student, super disruptive, drove everybody nuts. But he had this one teacher who made him stay in the classroom one day. I don't know if that was after school or during recess or whatever. And all she did was she walked over to his desk. She bent down. She got really, really close to his face. And she looked him dead in the eyes and told him that she believed he was a good boy. He said he carried that with him, and that's what stopped him from doing anything worse than what he'd done. So we need to spread as much sunshine as we can. You just never know. All right, I veered off there a bit. I'm supposed to be talking about flamingos, those gorgeous, resilient birds. I was talking about the way we use our feathers to hide, right? I kept my feathers. I still love my purses and my shoes, and clearly I still have a thing with the hair, but I'm done hiding. Done. I spent years drawing attention as far away from my body as possible. And I do understand how delusional that is, given that I was over 300 pounds. I get it. I'm 5'2". People were noticing my body. But then they were noticing it in positive ways and treating me differently because of it. And it really made me pretty distrustful. And it hurt. It hurt my feelings. I was used to handling the way that the world treated me when I was fat, okay? Compensating in a whole bunch of different ways. Learning to live in my body when I was thin was a whole other kettle of kittens. It takes resilience to lose weight because it's so hard. It's like standing in 150 degree water for the flamingo. It's not very comfortable. But here's the thing, right? The flamingo needs to eat, and it wants to do it in a predator-free environment. That means it's got to deal with the water. You need to lose weight, and predators or no, you've got to deal with the water too. I didn't have the same physical obstacles when I lost weight the first time as I did the second time. Yes, I weighed a lot more. It was 338 pounds, but I was also young and I was in way better overall shape. Even as bad as it was still better than the shape I was in after I came out of the hospital. I was so much stronger the first time. But that first time I hadn't successfully lost really any amount of weight before, not what I would consider successfully. So I didn't have the same confidence that I did the second time. I didn't know that I could do it. I just knew that I wanted to. I knew how scared I was. I was terrified of my weight. I thought it was going to kill me if I kept going the way I was. There's really no other way to put that. And I understood from the outset that it was going to take a fair bit of time for me to get the weight off. Right? I had zero clue how long it was going to take, but I spent almost 2.5 years losing the weight, and it didn't come easily. I struggled. There were lots of weeks where I didn't lose anything at all, and I for sure had weeks where I gained weight. I've never talked to anybody who lost their weight in a straight line. It takes resilience. You have to keep standing there. You have to keep trying. It's the only choice. And I don't think it happens overnight. I feel like you build it up over time. The more resiliency you need, the more resilient you get, so long as you keep trying. I had a lot of support as I was losing weight. I was pretty private about it, but most of the people in my life were either pretty neutral to the whole thing or they were supportive. But I also had a fair bit of resistance coming from people outside of my immediate circle. Right? And that's because of the way that I did it. Part of it too was the way that I framed things. So when someone would ask me how I was doing it, like, what are you eating? How are you doing this? I would tell them that I was eating whatever I wanted, but only at night. Exactly like that. And it usually didn't go over very well, which I kind of found funny, which is probably why I kept doing it. And you need to understand, right? At this time, I was working 3 of the 4 jobs that I had, and I'd had them for a fairly long time. They were all in the public sphere. They all involved regular customers. I was waiting tables at a local pizza place. I worked at the check cashing store in my town, and I had a job doing balloon bouquets and arches and other balloon stuff at a party store / hair salon. I know it sounds a little bit weird, but I was there every Saturday for 10 years. It was right on the main street, and I come from a very small town. So people had no problem letting me know what they thought about my weight loss and the way that I was doing it. Most people weren't dicks, but you know when they're not impressed, right? And it wasn't an issue for people to tell me that I was doing it wrong, that it wasn't going to work. And I think to myself, like, lady, you come in here every Saturday and you've watched me lose about 90 pounds so far. I'm pretty sure I'm doing something right. But people would say, whatever, you'll put it back on in no time. Nobody should eat like that. Everybody has got an opinion, and lots of people are willing to share them. And you can't hide. Like, well, you kind of can, right? But there were definitely times that I kind of did. But baggy clothes will only take you so far. And my face is a good third smaller than it used to be. You can't hide that. And there's something about weight loss that just seems to make people think that they can yammer at you about it. Resilience. Keep standing there. And you don't have to talk about this stuff with anybody you don't want to. But I know that's not always realistic advice. Because, like, what was I supposed to do? Look at a woman who'd been a client of my boss for longer than I'd been alive and tell her she couldn't talk to me like that? Like, yes, there are ways to stand up for yourself in those situations. And I did as much as I could, as subtly as I could. But I loved that job. And for every miserable old biddy who would tell me that I was completely nuts, there would be at least 2 other ones who would, you know, pat my hand on their way to the back and smile at me. You know, that twinkly-eyed little old lady grandma eye smile, one of those, right? And that was like, you know, so you weigh it out, and that's resilience. I feel like I've been in some fairly uninhabitable waters, places it was hard to live. And I'm not talking about some of the shitholes that Shot and I lived in when we were first starting out. I mean my own body. And at the same time, I don't think I've ever been more aware of my body than when things were at their hardest. I was so hyper aware of my physical self when I was fat. I felt so trapped. And then when I got sick, everything became about my body. All the things, every single thing. The fact that I was in a body again, a fat body, didn't help anything. And I don't mean medically, although that was totally true too, but emotionally, that trapped feeling. Being obese when I was fat made me feel even more trapped in my physical self. Before I lost weight the first time, I was miserable, completely miserable about my body. And the bigger it got, the worse things felt for me. I didn't like the way it moved, and I didn't like the way it looked, and I didn't like the way it felt being in it. When I was sick, I didn't give a single shit about the way that I looked, and I can be deeply vain. I didn't care. At one point, I had tubes in 6 different parts of my body. 2 PICC lines, a catheter, a drain on either side of my abdomen, and what's in my relatively limited experience, the absolute king of discomfort and pain when it comes to these tubes is a chest tube. They'd already taken out my central line at this point, but there was no room for vanity with all of that going on. It just doesn't happen. People used to ask me how I survived, and I've thought about it for a very long time. I don't know that I've ever come up with much of an answer. Resilience, for sure. I did it because I had to, because I wasn't given a choice. And that's a good thing. If the decision-making had been left up to me, I would have died in the first few hours because I did not consent to my crash C-section at all. Sean had to override me, and I went into it screaming with the worst pain I'd ever felt and screaming that I didn't want them to do it, begging them to stop. I was also way too sick to understand what was happening. 12 hours earlier, if someone had told me what was about to happen, I could have made a rational decision. But I got so sick so fast that all the upper level thinking went out the window completely, and it didn't come back for a very long time. When you're sick like I was, there isn't a lot of decision making going on. They decide for you. I laid there. I wasn't even allowed to eat or drink, right? I was on oxygen full time. So I wasn't an active participant in that type of physical sense a lot of the time. I wasn't the one deciding. All I had was the attitude I took into my physiotherapy sessions and what was going on in my head. I had to be resilient. I had to keep overcoming. I had a full-time psych team for nearly 4 of the 5 months I was in hospital. And by month 3, my mantra with them had become, there is no backward. There's only forward. I couldn't let myself think about what I had been through or what I was missing. All I could do was keep moving forward. I don't like talking about when I was in the hospital like this, because it feels like I'm whining or bragging or something else entirely. I don't even know, but it's very awkward for me. But I do it because I thought I had time. And you might be sitting there thinking that you do too. We always think we have more time. We always think we can do it later. Sometimes you can't. I thought I had more time too. Time to get fit, get the weight off, be healthy. I did not have time. And I very, very nearly died because of it. No one will ever convince me that if I'd been at a healthy weight when I got sick, things wouldn't have gone better. It wouldn't have been nearly as bad as it was. I still would have lost the ability to walk on my own, but maybe I would have still been able to sit. And I think I probably would have been able to roll over and roll from side to side. I don't think I would have lost the ability to do those things. I believe this so much that I'm dedicating my life to trying to help other people avoid what I went through. You do not want to be hospitalized and fighting for your life if you're obese, for loads of reasons. But the only one that matters is the way that you're going to have a better chance of surviving. Humiliation, mistreatment, medical complications, discrimination. There are so many different things working on so many different levels, but none of them will matter if you can't make it out the door still breathing. You're going to have to be resilient. You're worth doing this. It matters that you get healthy. You're going to have to get your flamingo on, and you can. You think the water will be too hot, and you've likely been burned before, but you really can do this. I'd like to help as much as I can. So I've got some resources available for you now. And in a couple of weeks, my full weight loss program is being released. In the meantime, my free guide to getting started for the last time is linked in the notes. And you can get a copy of my weight loss workbook on Amazon by searching for Disruptor and my name, Charlotte Skanes. You can also find out more about all these things and my cookbook on my website, disruptingobesity.com. Thank you for joining me. Make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss anything, and it really does help on my end too. Keep trying, keep tracking, don't be intimidated, and don't give up. You've totally got this. Thank you for listening to Disrupting Obesity with Charlotte Skanes. If you know it's time to take back control, lose the weight, and keep it off, reach out to me privately with a direct message on Instagram that says ready, so you can start disrupting obesity.